Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, November 28th, 2023. Well, today's recording and, of course, the posting on the website, it will be an addition to the part three that we did, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. So it will show up as part 3B. And I wanted to show how relevant our study in Psalm 119 is to us in this day and time. We're also going to gain some insight into the truth of Romans 15:4, which tells us, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Far beyond words to express, we are fortunate to be sons of God and citizens of heaven. This world we travel through is a wilderness, but we need make no mistake. It has been a wilderness since the fall of Lucifer, and we have God's word that it will continue for this time. Isaiah 14, I want to go to verse 12. We're going to read about this. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken?" That means he discomfited it. He discombobulated it. He made it chaotic. He confused everyone. He weakened the nations, and of course nations are made up of people, so it's speaking of people. God is light. We have to remember this first and foremost. He cannot become more light. By the same, the devil is darkness, and he cannot become more dark. And honestly, if you want to think about it, was there ever a day darker than the day Jesus was led to Calvary? And then immediately when his work was done, our Lord said, "It is finished." Was there ever a day brighter, more lighter, more light, as his finished work brought about God's raising him from the dead? It brought about the ascension, where he was seated at the right hand of God, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So it was the darkest of the dark, and it was swallowed up with the lightest of the light. And Ecclesiastes 1:9 gives us a great insight for all time here on earth. "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." So, for example, in 2 Timothy 3:13, when the word talks about evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, we have to keep in mind that beloved ones wax better and better. That wax is the same word is used in the Gospels where it says Jesus Christ increased in wisdom. He continued. He continued. Our better and better is light years ahead of the worse and worse of darkness. This verse was God breathed to Paul centuries ago, and it's been true forever. There is truly no new thing under the sun. That's what God tells us. And we have to be careful. And I've already reproved myself and changed my approach in sharing this 2 Timothy 3:13 going forward. Because for young people who have not begun their families, this verse can be very disheartening when it's used to describe this world on any given day. So, some young couples openly say they do not want to bring children into this world. Well, I say, the Word says, God says, young folks, do not be dismayed, because our powerful, all-knowing God Almighty has not changed. The word for dismay in the Old Testament, you read it a lot in Joshua, but other places too. It indicates a loss of power to proceed because one is balked by fear. So, don't be frozen in your tracks. Boldly, young people, you plan, you proceed, you set the desires of your heart. You proceed living your life to the glory of our faithful Father. Verse 13 of Isaiah 14, for thou, speaking of Lucifer, hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Forget about the sides of the north. You're going to be at the sides of the pit one day. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made this world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof? See, here it is. The devil, aka Lucifer, is the one who made the world as a wilderness. But let's continue. Let's look at Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. In 8:15 of Deuteronomy, who, speaking of God, led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. That's a pretty good provision. Nehemiah 9:21, yea, 40 years didst thou, again speaking of God, sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. And see, do you get an idea now how Romans 15:4 says it like it is? Entrusted with the God-breathed word, believing men like Moses, David, Isaiah, Nehemiah, many others, they recorded the never-ending story of God's provision for his own as they traveled through the wilderness, whether literally, figuratively, or both. The word of God they put forth would provide the learning for us today to help us enjoy patience and comfort of the scripture, that we could continue with a godly hope in this world, even though it is still a wilderness. When we read Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? David was traveling through the wilderness. And the way is by taking heed according to the word. Nothing has changed. And based on this section in Psalm 119, I want to go to Ephesians, and we'll see again how the scriptures written aforehand were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So in Ephesians, I want to show, really, it's a beautiful parallel to Psalm 119. It's just stunning to me. Starting with verse 1, "Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children." Now, followers is a word that means imitate, copy, be like. And most of us know how a dear child wants to do everything they see their parents do. More than anything, they want to be just like their mommy. They want to be just like their daddy. And at that age, they even want to do chores they see you doing. So don't miss out on that. In verse 2, it says, "And walk in love." Well, what makes that little child a dear child and want to imitate their parents to a T? It's the love in their little hearts. But this love is even bigger, because this love is the word for God's divine love. It's not a form of love known to any person who does not have the Spirit of God within them. Got to be born again to receive it, and then God pours it out into your heart. So spiritually, you could say you had a heart transplant, because it's a new nature. There's unlimited possibilities with God. Christ loved us with that divine love. So God wants us to imitate His nature. His nature is divine love and absolute light. So He instructs us, imitate me, walk in love, because that love sets our heart. And as Proverbs 4 talks about, from that heart come all the issues of our life. Everything that happens in our life initiates and proceeds from how our heart is prepared. The heart is most important spiritually. Get the heart right first and foremost. So walk in that divine love. Walk, figuratively, signifies the whole round of activities of an individual's life. So it means with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, walk in divine love in all that we do. And verse 6 warns us, Ephesians 5:6, "Don't let evil men and seducers deceive you with vain words. Because when you fall prey to deception," you know what you're going to do? You're going to sin. Absolutely. And that's what evil men and seducers do. They've always done it. They do it now. And they're going to continue to do it. They get us off the word. That's their goal. And David was so passionate in his time. "Help me, Lord. I've hidden the word. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I would not sin against thee." And then verse 7 says, "Be ye not therefore partakers with them." And you know, there's a word of wisdom that is found in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." So if we don't associate with those who would deceive us, our safety is greatly improved. And Ephesians 5:8 gives us the will of God as to how we conduct the activities throughout our lives. "For we were sometimes darkness." We didn't always have the word. We weren't always saved. We were just up for grabs by the evil men and the seducers. But it goes on to say, but now are ye light in the Lord. So you know what? Walk as children of light. The light of God is shown us through His Word. We need to know His Word. With our heart ticking on His perfect love, we become so tender to His instructions, like David in Psalm 119. It just rends your heart to read how beautiful His heart's desire was for God and for His Word. But with all of that, we're so tender to His voice, and we imitate Him as a dear child. We know His light, and we are thrilled to walk in it. Moving to verse 15, there's another time in chapter 5 where the word walk is used. And it reads, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And in the context of this chapter, this has become such an intriguing verse to me since I have begun the study on Psalm 119. I used to look at this as three distinct things the believer is to do. Walk in love, walk in light, walk circumspectly. But now, after working Psalm 119, I'm seeing the walking circumspectly as not only something we choose to do, but it is much like the fruit of the walking in love and walking in light. It's our harvest that we could walk circumspectly. And in Psalm 119, verse 1 and 2, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed, verse 2, "are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." So there's your walking in love. There's your imitating God. There's your walking in light. And we looked at what the word blessed actually meant. And it means, oh, how happy. Well, the same in Ephesians 5, verse 15. When we're walking our lives with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, when we're walking in the light of His Word, we are walking undefiled by the evil men and the seducers. We make ourselves eligible by walking in love and walking in light. We become eligible, so to speak, for walking circumspectly. There's no other way to do it. And circumspectly is a word that means diligently, perfectly. Much as in the care it would take to reach an extreme high point. And it makes you think of a climber reaching a mountain summit. The first thing he does at that pinnacle is look around. The view is unobstructed. From the apex, he sees everything. Well, I'm telling you, that sounds spiritually most helpful, considering that we are walking through a wilderness. Being able to see, being able to avoid evil men and seducers because we recognize them, we see them coming because we know the Word. We avoid so many various dangers that are prevalent in the wilderness. I would say that's quite a blessing. And we could say of that, oh, how happy, happy, happy. Well, that's all I have for today, but I did want to share these considerations. They've been fresh on my heart, and I wanted to share them with you before we pick up our study on the next section of 8 verses. In Psalm 119. I love thinking about and referring to our knowledge and understanding of the Word as a tapestry. You think of a tapestry, it is so strong because there's so many numbers of fibers and variations of color that intertwine to make a precise picture, maybe a landscape, whatever. But you cannot rip a tapestry with your hands. It won't tear. You would have to become extremely destructive to destroy a tapestry. That tapestry of His Word is our armor in the wilderness as of today. Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. So I hope these considerations give you further things to think about and kind of begin to meld some verses together like this. So God's blessings to your hearts. Love you.